Today is October 1st, 1993. This is Margaret Van Cleve. I will be talking to Charles Lazaration, a retired hard rock miner who mined in the Fairbanks District at Stampede, places like that, Cleary Hill, and Pedro Dome. This tape is made possible by a grant from Igloo No. 4 Foundation, Pioneers of Alaska. We are recording at Mr. Lazaration's home on the Olsties Highway about 5 miles north of Fairbanks. I see from your questionnaire that you are from mining country, so I guess you had some preparation for mining when you came to Fairbanks.
Actually, I was raised in Lincoln. I was born in a coal mining town. They called it 28, but the reason they did that was the number of the mine that the company that had the mine was Burnham White Coal Mining Company. And they had a bunch of mines around that part of the area, and that was not, one of them was 28. But it was in between a town called Ginner and Janesville. So then that's what they called it, 28. But now they call it, there's a sign there that when I was back about 6 years ago, it's the village of Al Madden instead of 28 anymore.
Towns do undergo a name change.
When I was born there, then my mother and dad, we had a little small farm, not very big, but my dad was a miner. And he had an accident when I was about 5 years old. My mother raised the rest of us kids, and the four of us. There was three of us, a brother and a sister, and myself. So we raised most of the stuff on the farm, and I'd done a little work on the farm, but then I started the underground mining when I was fairly young.
This is in the coal mining.
There was some people there, and they had a farm, and I worked on it. And then they had a coal mine, it's called the house coal mine. They delivered coal to homes instead of on the railroad to big industry. And a husband and a son worked there, and I worked there too. Then I made I went to New York City, worked there for a while, which I didn't like. So then when I come back, my mother left, and she went to New York City with my sister and my brother. But I stayed there in Whitehall, Pennsylvania, close to where I was raised. And I worked around there in the small mines. But in 1936, I went to St. Michael and worked there for 2 years before I came to Alaska.
Where is St. Michael? Is St. Michael in Pennsylvania?
Yeah, it was in Pennsylvania. It's, just, it's about a half a mile from the site of the old dam that flooded Johnstown. So there was no work around where I was raised anymore. No mines, but they all shut down, so people moved away from there.
And this was during the Depression?
During the Depression, yeah. It was in the... I left there in 36, but in 32 or 34, it was all Depression. It was very little work. So the one fellow I come up to Alaska with, he worked with me. The two of us worked in St. Michael. And the next one worked in a place called Red Block. But he left and went to come west the year before, that would be in 1937.
And how did you eventually come to Alaska?
Well, we'd planned this for all 4 or 5 years, that we wanted to go to Alaska. So then George, he left, that's one of the partners, he left the year before, and he come west. He had relatives in Montana, but he went to work in Idaho. So the next year after that, we come to Idaho, and Idaho to Montana to Seattle. and from Seattle we come to Alaska.
Did you come by steamship?
Steamship. The accident was on the steamer Yukon.
Oh, now what route would that be?
Well, that's from Seattle to, well, you stopped in a lot of little small towns like Sitka and Juneau and then to Seward.
Oh, then so you came by railroad?
Then from Seward to Fairbanks by railroad.
That was at least a 2-day trip in those days.
Well, it was a 2-day trip, and it was all through. We come too early in the wintertime.
You're not the first, I've heard. Were jobs pretty easy to come by once you got to Fairbanks?
No, there weren't. There were. Actually, you could pick up a job now and then. There was an employment agency here in the fellow by the name of Lowell Morgan. There was a Department of the Interior had it. We used it. And we could pick up work like on holidays, and be picking up garbage.
Mm-hmm. Wood cutting?
Wood cutting, yeah, that's right. That was, which wasn't very much, but we didn't, we lived real cheap too.
Where did you stay?
We had a cabin. Then we rented cabins at that time, right close to where the post or where the railroad station is. Actually, it was one there. Then we had one on Second. Later on, we moved to the cabin still there.
Oh, down by the power plant?
No, it's on Second and Wickersham.
Oh, the other direction. Yeah.
We had a cabin there. We had rented. I forget the fellow's name that had it. I'll think of it. But we rented that cabin. We had it for 9 or 2 years after we got through playing around town. It was cheap.
Now, this was the spring of 1939.
That was the spring of 1938.
So it took you a little while to get into.
Then until 1939. We had to rent it after we got through in small cabins we stayed at. Then we had this permanent one. We could go out of town and come back in. We had a place to stay. Yeah. And it was on Second and Wickersham.
The one that.
Yeah, we had the permanent one.
So when you went out mining.
We didn't go out mining. We done work around town, odd jobs, because Ted got to know us pretty good, so when he had an odd job, he'd come tell us about it.
Who was that?
Lowell Morgan, not Ted.
Oh, the
He was an employment agent.
Agency.
So we'd get jobs just like when there was a holiday, special weekend sometime, or the Mondays, picking up garbage, which was good pay for them days.
Yeah, enough to keep food on the table.
Yeah. But other jobs didn't pay so good.
Mm-hmm.
But then we deck logs, cut wood.
That's good preparation for working in the mine.
Then in 1939, George went to the Cantishna, and I went up to Chena Hot Springs. I was supposed to go to work. And so I stayed there till July. I left in the spring when the snow was still on the ground. Then I left there in July, and then I went to the Cantishna too. We prospected. Then he got a job for Shelburne, then for a fellow by the name of Joe Dalton. And he was, so then I left him and I went, walked from there after I walked to Stampede. And I stayed there overnight. The next day I got a plane out of there. Pollock Airlines.
The Stampede is in the Cantishna district?
That's right.
Oh, did you ever know Fanny Quigley?
Oh, yes. I knew her. She was on Friday Creek.
And
I knew her husband, too.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I come to town, and about a week later, I got a letter from Earl Pilgrim with the animal in mind to come out there and go to work. So I did.
Which mine was that?
Stampede. It's the antimony mine. Earl Pilgrim had it.
Mm-hmm.
It was in the news here 2 or 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Is that type of mining pretty similar to gold mining?
Well, it's underground. It's hard rock.
Hard rock.
It was hard rock mining, yeah. I didn't start when I went there. I worked in the mill and for a while until it froze up, then that went underground and we started to drill a tunnel there.
Mm-hmm. So this would be, you could work in the winter time?
Well, we did there because we drove a tunnel, George and I, because George come there then, when he left Joe Dalton, mm-hmm. well, then he come there too with the Earls, Earl Pilgrims, mm-hmm. to the Antimony Mine. So then when it froze up and it had no more water so you could mill, George and I drove a tunnel there.
By drove,
you mean drove one? Yeah, see, it had a tunnel there. We drove over about 500 feet from the mill level. It's underground.
Mm-hmm. How far underground would it be? I guess it just depends on where the ore occurs.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Some places.
Yeah. Just like there up on top of the hill, they had a tunnel and they had shafts too. And so then we worked there till December.
The temperature is pretty constant underground?
Huh?
Is the temperature fairly constant?
It just depends right close to the one called entrance, like that 500 feet. It varies with the one called with the outside temperature. Mm-hmm. But when you get deeper, why, then it's about
then
constant.
It's pretty much the same.
Yeah. Which isn't warm up here, it depends where. like at Clary Hill, where what they call the 600 level, the temperature there was about 39 degrees.
That seemed warm in the
winter
time. Not so, of course, in the summer.
Well, we worked up till December, then we came to town. And so I worked for all odd jobs, like for general transportation. To name names, it was Maxie Miller who was operating at them.
Oh, yeah.
It's the same way where the Miller apartments are, right across from the river. And then I did other odd jobs. Yeah. And I went to work then in 1940. In April 1st, I went to work at Clary Hill.
And that was for a particular company, or was
The Clary Hill Gold, the Clary Hill Mining Company, but it was gold.
Mm-hmm.
It's still not in operation, but if you go down, leave the summit.
Mm-hmm.
On the left-hand side, you'll see a bunch of buildings.
Oh, they're still there, yeah.
They're still there.
I've often wondered about that.
You know, that was a clarity.
Big operation.
Yeah, you know, at that time it was. Okay. They had about 30 men, but a little more than the same. It was employment agent, and he knew, some of the people there, so then I got a job there.
You had connections to
George. And then George went to work there too, my partner. But this other partner, the three of us come up from Seattle, and Charles Mahalko, he come to Sword and he seen that snow in them high hills. He got back on the same boat and was back east.
Did he ever come back?
No, he didn't. But the sad part of that is when my wife and I went out about 10 years ago, he was in the hospital at Pittsburgh, and he had black, what they call black lung. So when we was out there, he died and he passed away.
What was your first job or assigned position with the Clary?
Clary Hill, I went out there, I hired out as a mucker.
Mm-hmm. Now, what does that entail?
Well, that means that you shovel load cars, and when they shoot, like in the tunnel or in the stope, then you shovel back into cars, and if it was ore, you hauled it out to the mill.
Yeah, stamp mill.
Yeah, the stamp mill.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it was waste that you couldn't, what they call a cut and fill method, you couldn't get rid of underground, you had to take that out and dump it. Dumps you see in these mines, that's what they do. That was a waste pile.
Mm-hmm. See, gold at that time is about $35.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So I worked there for 4 years. That fall, I went on night shift is a nice foreman with a crew of anywhere up to four men.
Mm-hmm.
But they went 24-hour milling, where they used to mill 8 hours before, 8 and 10, they went to 24-hour milling.
So three different shifts then?
There's two shifts.
Oh, two. Oh.
Yeah. Because the millmen worked the mine underground, they worked 8 hours, but the millmen worked 12.
Mm-hmm.
Or 10 hours, it laid off in between.
Mm-hmm. And you lived right there on the premises?
Yeah,
it was bunkhouse.
Living outside of a few people that had their, in the summertime, they lived out there because they had children here who went to school.
Mm-hmm.
So they lived out there in the wintertime, in the summertime, but in the wintertime,
the
men would work out there and the women would come into town with the kids.
How did you get back and forth? Was there a railroad out there at that time?
No, the narrow gauge only runs to Gilmore.
That's right. Yeah,
yeah, mm-hmm. But it wasn't in operation when I come up here.
Mm-hmm.
It was already going
off. Yeah.
So they had a bus that ran out there in the mornings.
Mm-hmm.
Billy Root's bus run out there.
This would be from Fairbanks?
Fairbanks, yeah. It'd leave in the morning.
Peter special.
Yeah, you know, they'd leave in the morning, I think it was about 5 o'clock at Fairbanks, and then get out there close to 7. Then about the only time the men used it was when they was like weekends when they were coming in, but
mm-hmm.
that would only be because they worked 13 days in 2 weeks. They had one Saturday, one Sunday off.
That sounds like a good old day.
Uh-huh. But later on, they went to 6 days.
Oh.
But when I first started, it was 13 days and 2 weeks.
So did the bus have a contract with the gold?
No, you paid your own fare.
So a dollar or whatever it was?
I just forget what it was in them. It wasn't too much.
Enough that it was reasonable enough that you could go in on the weekends, or the weekends now. Mm-hmm.
So then I worked night shift for over 2 years, night, till I went to the Tungsten, because they, Clary Hill went mine Tungsten on Gilmore Dome. So I worked there for dang near 2 years.
Yeah,
but it was still for Clary Hill.
Still, same company. Always think it's just gold, but there were others.
Well, there was two reasons for that. See, when the war came along, they shut gold down.
Oh, so that was the government.
The government shut gold down. You could only know. So, but they got an exemption for a little while because they went to Tungsten was a strategic mineral,
mm-hmm.
so they went to Tungsten mine.
It's still the same method, the hard rock. Mm-hmm. And that was quite a bit more per ounce.
It Tungsten sells by the unit.
Oh, I guess I'm thinking of platinum.
I
knew there was something more expensive than gold.
It's sold by the unit, and I forget the price of it then.
Mm-hmm.
But they mined it there at the Gilmore Dome, but hauled it to Clary Hill, the mill. They used the Clary Hill mill.
So you could use the gold?
They had to convert it, do a lot of conversion on it, but they could still use the same stamps
mm-hmm.
for mill.
Interesting. Hmm. So you continued into the war years doing mining?
Well, no, then 1944, when they shut down, I went into the service.
Oh, what branch of the service?
The ATS.
That's,
Army Transportation Service, but later on they changed it to Transportation Corps.
Transportation Corps.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Department of Army. A lot of people went out to Ladd Field. You said
I didn't go to Ladd Field. See, we took my basic training. Your basic training here in Alaska was at Anchorage.
Mm-hmm.
So I took my basic training there. Then I got assigned to you stayed there till you got an assignment, which was mine, was a transportation corps, a transportation service.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a water service. I was on shore at Kodiak. They had a dock there about a mile out of town. It was a transportation service and a harbor craft.
Mm-hmm.
Was, I forget how many there was, but that's where I served.
And did you see some of the Aleutian ports?
Oh yeah, because they're right there at Lycoming. We was a water service. We were overhauling small boats for the army.
Mm-hmm.
Then they had a bunch of barges and stuff for these islands, and that they were power barges. Then when they closed that down, I went to Dutch Harbor.
So that was after it had been bombed.
Huh?
That was after it had been bombed.
Oh, that's what was way after, yeah.
Yeah, it was early in the war.
Mm-hmm. They had, I was on the barge. We lived on it and done repair off it. It was 40, at maximum when I was on it, it was about 45 men.
Mm-hmm.
We done repair work. And then we had the Marine Ways there at Dutch Harbor. We're pulling boats up on the Marine Ways to repair them.
Mm-hmm. This is just standard service, or were these boats that had been damaged? Mm-hmm. Was this just standard maintenance? Or?
Well, the Army had a lot of floating equipment. They had a lot of barges, they had a lot of transportation, water transportation, mm-hmm. which a lot of people don't think is null, but that's true.
Yeah, I think it was Army.
You'd think it was an all Navy, but it wasn't.
Hmm.
The Army had a lot of like, like it.
Salt water is tough mm-hmm. on things.
No.
Touchy doozy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what'd you think of the weather out there? Okay. What did you think of the weather out there?
Well, really, Kodiak, well, I liked. It wasn't that bad. It did get cold, but it wasn't that bad in the snow. But then Dutch Harbor was a little.
Horizontal rainfall. I read somewhere that the reference the opposing firepower of the enemy that.
But in between that time, I'd been when I was with the Lycoming ATS. I was in place like Cold Bay and Omnak
mm-hmm.
because I helped on some power plants and stuff, repair work.
Mm-hmm.
So they ship you and then you come back.
A little R&R.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can get, I never got R&R. Yeah. You couldn't, for ATS, you couldn't get R&R.
Oh,
you were
on the site.
Oh, yeah. Because mm-hmm. we was on call for 7 days a week. And when a boat would get in, like at Kodiak, when I was there on dock, because I was in the machine shop.
Mm-hmm.
When the boat would come in on dock, why, then you'd put in a 12-hour shift. They put me on a crane then to unload.
I guess you were prepared for that with
yeah.
your mining background, long hours, tough conditions. So you stayed there for the duration of the war?
I stayed at Dutch Harbor. Ended up at Dutch Harbor, and that's where I got discharged at,
mm-hmm.
which was just about 2 years.
So?
The service.
And then back to gold mining, or?
I come back. I made a trip outside to see my mother, and then I come back up here. I went to Butte. Was a partner. The superintendent for Clary Hill was the guy, then we went partners in mining,
mm-hmm.
went prospecting.
Oh, who was your partner?
Warren Jokla.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Were there quite a few independent miners working at that time?
Not in hard rock. There wasn't too much hard rock. Mm-hmm. There was a few mines here, like hard rock. There was Nestor District, there was two.
Mm-hmm.
And here the High U and McCarthy,
mm-hmm.
It was hard rock mine.
Mm-hmm. So there were quite a few placer operations around?
Placer operations, there was lots of them.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these creeks, especially before the Oneida first came up mm-hmm. here.
Would it be probably cheaper to do plaster mining?
Well, no, it's most, they had some drift mining like on at Chattanooga and them where they done underground mining in plaster. But most of it was open cut, you know, like stripping like you see now.
Right, along the sea path.
Yeah, that's right. So they were seasonal. In other words, in the spring when the water starts running, and in the fall when it starts to freeze up, they close down.
So the hard rock miners were more in?
Well, most of them here, outside of a few in Esther, they worked year-round, which is the reason I liked it.
Well, paycheck every month.
That's right.
Sure beats it for just the seasonal.
But the wages weren't that, what you compare them to now, like in Anchorage area in the hard rocks, I think it was around $5 a day. In Fairbanks area, it was $6 and $7.
$5 a day.
That's not by hour, that was a day you got paid.
Tough work.
Well, then out of that, you paid $1 a day for board.
I was going to say, they didn't give you free room and board. How was the food in some of
it? It was real good. All these mining camps were outside of a few, like in the Cantation when George worked down there shoveling in that fall. They furnished the beans. If you wanted meat, you went out and got it.
You have to be pretty hungry.
But no, the hard rock mines here, it was a real good way home. That's one thing they had.
So you'd have a big meal in the middle of the day?
Well, in the morning you had breakfast, and then at lunch you'd come, like the miners would come out and have lunch. Then in the evening, they had that'd be the big meal. And then when I was working night shift, most of the time I'd be up to, the only thing I didn't get was breakfast.
That would be your bedtime.
Well, you know. But then we came out when I worked on the ground, we'd go in, and then at 11 o'clock we had lunch. We'd be out in the mill. We'd come out in the mill, and then the cook would put stuff out for us.
Something available.
Yeah.
So you'd have, I imagine, a pretty high protein diet, lots of meat.
Well, there was lots of meat. There was most of the time, like at Clary Hill, it was three choices. Unless they had steak, and then you still had a choice. Okay. So would that be like T-bone steaks at least once a week, twice a week?
Probably big enough to fill your family.
Then you had the vegetable stuff you wanted and everything.
So you didn't have to do like they did in the old days, exist on game.
Oh no, that was what they called. As a matter of fact, you couldn't serve game, that was against the law. Serve game in the way home.
Game meaning moose or anything?
You couldn't serve it in the bunkhouse where you hired the men.
Well, I guess that would put a real dent in the moose population if they had done that.
So then in 19, Barn and I went prospecting. We prospected in Ophir District and the Cantation. Then in 1947, I went to work in town here. After I got through prospecting, I went to work in town. Well, before that, when I got out of the service, I come back from outside, I went to work here in town. They were putting in that Noise Slough Bridge, Railroad Bridge, and the one on Trainer Gate out at the field. I worked on that.
So you were on the
equipment, yeah.
And that would be for the Alaska, you would have been an employee of the Alaska Railroad?
No, that was a contractor.
Contractor.
Contractor had the job laid on Munder Construction Company. I worked for them. Then when I got through in the spring with them, then I went prospecting again.
Mining was in your blood.
No. So we went to Ophir.
And by that time, too, were you married?
No.
So before you were married, you were still...
So then when I come back from there, that fall, I worked a little bit around town, then I went to work for Youth Civilians.
The coal bunkers?
At the mine.
Oh, you went down to
Healy. Healy, yeah. I went down there in the fall, and I worked till March of 1948, and I left there. And I went up to the Koyukuk, then to the, for Johnny Repo on Myrtle Creek.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked there that summer.
You've seen a lot of mining areas in Alaska.
So then when I come back from there, I come to town, and I went to work for, Carrington's.
Carrington.
Mm-hmm. They were equipment distributors here in town. Mm-hmm.
That's an old, that Samson hardware complex.
Right, that's right. Mm-hmm. But I was picking up equipment and stuff for them mostly that they had rented out or sold, and then they repossessed it. Then that fall, Vern and I, we got a lease to mine up at Vigo Dome.
Mm-hmm.
So we went mining in November, hard rock mine. Mm-hmm. And we mined it till 1954.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess there's still a little bit of mining going on out there.
The only hard rock mine outside of Fort Knox,
mm-hmm.
which you're working on.
Mm-hmm.
I was out there yesterday.
Well, I guess it's pretty expensive, and also it requires a lot of people to work hard rock.
That's right. Well, today it's on a big scale. It's not like on the scale it used to be before.
Mm-hmm. So big companies now, the young ones.
So Vern and I, it was a two-man operation.
Mm-hmm. So were you working areas that had been previously mined?
Yes, old-timers had mined some of it.
Mm-hmm. But by different methods?
No, it's the same. It was a hard rock. Yeah, that was hard rock, but it was later.
So they left a little behind?
Well, yeah, mm-hmm. a new area, but in the same location.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had a little hard luck. Vern, he got his leg broke up there. So he was laid up for 2 years.
Mm.
So I worked there, both there at the mine by myself, and then I done odd jobs. I faded from the sawtooth on antimony there.
Mm-hmm.
It was hauling into Live and Good and shipping it to Chicago. Then I'd do extra work when it goes down on Wolf Creek. Manny Olson and his partner were down there, and then was stripped 1 year, they didn't mine the next, and when they needed a little extra help, I'd go down and help them.
Mm-hmm.
Then Nick Kupoff mined on Pedro at the monument, and I'd go down and help him too, besides the work I was doing by myself.
Mm-hmm.
We milled our ore at Clary Hill. We leased the mill and mm-hmm. used the mill, a stamp mill, to mill our own ore.
Yes, that means it puts it into pure form. By knowing you mean it.
Crush it first with a crusher, then you turn around, put it through a mill, through a stamp mill, and they crush it to fine to get the gold out of it.
Mm-hmm. So it's a separation process.
It's a separation process. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I met my wife and I got married. Yeah. But we stayed there till the kids got too big.
Yeah. So you did, after you were married, you did continue with some mining?
Oh, yeah, continue some mining. We lived up there. That was my squirrel.
Yeah, I saw that bushy tail sitting in there. So you had a little house?
I had a little house there, yeah. Right. We had two places, a log house, and I built a place up there.
Oh, you had a log house in... In town?
No.
Oh,
up there. Up there, you know. It was because it was, when I got married, they made two families there, so they didn't stay there. Mm-hmm. They had their own place.
And that's up on Pedro.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. About a mile from Pedro down.
Mm-hmm. I think there's some recreational cabins there now.
Oh, it's on top of the hill. It's not too far, about a half a mile from where we had the mine.
Beautiful view.
Oh, yeah.
Panoramic view. Everything. Mm-hmm.
So then when the kids started to have to go to school and stuff, stay in town, well, then it was like keeping two places, which mm-hmm. we couldn't afford, even mine.
Yeah.
So we give up mine, and then
located in town. Here, or is this this house, or did you live close to
No, we rented for a long time. We lived on 6th, and we lived at Fairview Manor for 15 years. Because then I was never home, which was a good place to stay.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was mostly away from home all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So then when we left up there, I went to work for Alaska Freight Lines. And they were freighting up north. That's when they were getting ready to freight up north with cats and theirs. Special train they had.
What year was that again?
I think that was 56. And that was, we freighted the first year from Circle to all Liverpool Bay in Canada.
Oh.
And that was by cats and trucks. And that special train that Gezi had built.
Oh,
uh-huh. That snow train.
So you would drive by road to Circle, or
was it? No, we even took the cats the first trip. The trucks, we plowed the road with cats, and the trucks followed us.
Mm-hmm.
Then it was about 14 miles from Circle. We assembled the equipment there and stuff and put it into what do you call it, for cats to haul and stuff. And we took it north then.
So you'd cross the Yukon River and then go?
We went up the Colleen River into Blow River into Canada, the Mackenzie, the mm-hmm. Point Bryant
mm-hmm.
in Canada, which they call Tuk Tuk.
Oh, Tuk Toyuk Tuk?
Yeah.
Oh.
Toyuk Tuk.
So this is in preparation for?
Well, that was on the Dew Line. See, they were putting in a dew line, and so we took this equipment up there for the dew line. So none of the cats we brought back, but the snow train come back, and there was a bunch of trucks up there with us too, because we took trucks with us.
Yeah, a bunch of?
Trucks.
Uh-huh.
So then the next year, they went from Eagle
mm-hmm.
to Cambridge Bay. In Canada, that's north of the mouth of the Coppermine River in Canada.
Really remote area.
Well, I think it was approximately from Eagle to the mouth of the, into Coronation Gulf, where we went into, it was about 1,400 miles.
How long did that take you?
Yeah, that's not just because the trucks made back and forth trips.
Mm-hmm.
The snow train brought it in, and that's where it and into Eagle, and they took it back up, and that's where it caught a fire. But the trucks, and we made that trip into Cambridge Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And see, then all them sites, there was a dew line site about every 50 mile.
Mm-hmm.
So with all them in Canada, we distributed different places, dropped stuff off.
Mm-hmm.
We was hauling reinforcing steel, cement, and then cats, stuff that we had with us.
How did you manage to live at, if you were traveling on this?
We had a bunkhouse.
How along with you?
We all belonged with us. We was traveling 24 hours a day. He was working.
Mm-hmm. Saw
some
really tough weather.
Well, it was not only tough, but there was places that were wet belt. It was like you can break through the ice mm-hmm. where it was, you'd have water.
Mm-hmm. Did that ever happen when you were?
Yeah, you know, it did happen. We never lost anything, but it did. We did break it off.
Oh.
And then Gezi had five special trucks built outside. They were big. Later on, they were used for freight in here.
Mm-hmm.
They were specially built trucks. So when the first one broke through, we never went out on the ice with them. We went the rest of the way with cats.
They could maneuver a lot better with a cat.
Well, it wasn't as heavy loads.
And then, the
loads weren't that heavy. Each cat had about three sleds.
Mm-hmm.
Even the bunkhouse and the cookhouse.
So that would be on top of a sled.
It's on top of a sled, behind the cat.
So about how many tons would that be hauling? That must have been...
Well, the cats, about on each sled, you hauled about 20 ton average. 20 ton to a sled. Some was lighter, some was heavier, but not mm-hmm. much, about 20
ton. So you had the same trail, and so by constant travel, you were able to keep the trail in fairly good shape.
Rough.
Well, the snowstorm would.
The first year we had to make a trail that was 24 feet wide because the snow drain was banged that wide.
Mm-hmm.
And it had five cars behind it on the snow drain. And it was, each car was made for two, never hauled any, but was made for two vans.
Mm-hmm.
So the bed on it was 20 feet wide.
So you had
40 feet long, 20 feet wide.
Very little clearance.
Very little. Mm-hmm.
So you had to do a lot of brush cutting initially?
That's right. Not brush cutting. It was all done with cat work today. They had mercury.
Go ahead and churn it down.
And then rivers, like across small rivers, that you have to put fill. Get across the bottom, because it breaks through and you have to put them in. Mm-hmm. And that'd be moss, trees.
Anything that would buy nobody to utilize.
I freighted for then that spring. I stayed with Alaska Freight Lines because Alaska Freight Lines started to develop a mine at McLaren River, a copper mine.
That's in Yukon territory?
No, that's off of between Bax and Cantwell.
Yes, yeah.
At McLaren River Bridge there, if you wouldn't have been on it,
mm-hmm.
on that road. Or there was no bridge there, but the road was there. And then about 9 miles up from that bridge on McLaren River is where Gezi or Alaska Freight Lines had their copper mine.
Mm-hmm.
They were trying to develop it. So I went there, worked that summer diamond drilling underground
mm-hmm.
prospect.
So,
then that fall, then I went back up to Eagle to on that freighting trip from Eagle.
Oh, back to the snow train?
The snow train, that's right.
Well, I guess that was the only way you could get things around in those days. We didn't have the big freight aircraft. And
then the next year after that, I went to work up at Barrel.
Oh,
For Puget Sound and Drake at that time, who had the contract up there, and I worked for them on that was on the Dew Line too.
Mm-hmm.
On them sites out of Barrel.
See, T3's near, was that part of it, that T3 island?
T3. Well, that was a different, I don't think any Puget Sound had anything to do with that.
That, you know,
I think that
was a separate operation.
That, I think that was a separate operation. That was, what do you call it, a Navy, I think, had mm-hmm. that. With this part here, like on the Dew Line, that was the Army.
Mm-hmm. So you were in Barrow proper, or just outside?
It was just about a few mile out of Barrow where the camp was.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I stayed there. Then I worked out of there on different sites. Mm-hmm. I worked in the shop.
Mm-hmm. Naval Lab was there. Did you know some of those people?
Oh, yeah.
So you worked for...
Yeah. Well, there was a lot of them people in, like, in the shop and stuff that I worked with. Mm-hmm. I worked there as a mechanic.
Mm-hmm. So you'd sort of help one another out?
Huh?
You'd help one another out?
Well, with the Navy and that?
Yeah.
No, that was separate altogether. I didn't have nothing to do mm-hmm. with that.
They were there.
Yeah, you know, they were there. So that's when when I worked there. Then, out of that, I worked for Exploration Service here. When I left there, I worked for Exploration Service here in Fairbanks.
Mm-hmm.
And then I worked for them because a fellow by the name of Jim Dalton was up there. Then I worked for what you call different outfits had contracts up there. Then I worked in the gas field there at the Barrel.
Mm-hmm.
When they were drilling wells, gas wells there for the what you call
the White Hall?
Huh?
What did you say, the White? They're drilling gas wells?
Gas wells for the camp there, see, at Arctic Exploration, or whatever you wanted to call it.
Okay, I was just trying to get the name.
Yeah, they had gas wells there. They used gas for heat and mm-hmm. for power
mm-hmm.
at Arctic Research.
Mm-hmm.
And then for what you call it, different companies that they have bid on that. So like for the Dew Line, they done most of their work out of Barrow.
Mm-hmm.
But they had gas wells.
That was in the late 50s?
No, that was in the late 50s. Yeah, they had the wells there before I ever worked there. But then mm-hmm. when I was there, then they drilled a few wells that I worked on, mm-hmm. on the wells, gas mm-hmm. wells.
Mm-hmm. Well, did you get in on the Prudhoe Bay exploration?
Yeah. Then later on, I worked there too because they had, when they put the gas into a town of Barrow,
mm-hmm.
I worked on the gas line there, what do you call it, into Barrow.
Mm-hmm.
Then I worked for Exploration Service too. They had a contract for Colorado Gas and Oil.
Mm-hmm.
And we all freighted stuff in from Barrow to Gubik, Umiak.
Afraid? You mean by?
On cats.
In the winter.
Yeah, in the winter time
mm-hmm.
with cats. So then, when they drilled a few wells, and like they drilled a well in like an Umiak, not Umiak, but Gubik and them places, we moved the rigs in there when we went up the first year
mm-hmm.
from places it was at into Gubik. Then when Colorado Gas drilled in there, I worked on them on the gas rig, on the gas rigs, setting them up. And then I worked on them when they were drilling. Then not long after one call two, which I missed. That same summer when we come back from up north, up in Canada, from Cambridge Bay, Coronation Gulf, Exploration Service had a contract on the peninsula, freight from Duke Bay to Dagnear Igigik across the peninsula, Glacieroff Lake. They freighted with cats and them trucks that Gezi had built.
Mm-hmm.
Where Exploration Service was three men that was here in town. I don't think they'll mind if I say the name.
I don't think so.
Well, it was Jim Dalton, Ted Matthews, and Doug Cope.
Oh, yes. Okay.
They were Exploration Service. And one more guy, Jim Marsh.
Mm-hmm.
From Anchorage. They had the contract then for a freight in there. And I worked down there that summer.
You've seen a lot of the North Country via mining or freighting.
Yeah, well, then I worked for Exploration Service. They had contracts with like Ben and them when they drilled their well here in Indian Interior, just about 10 miles north of Nolato. They had the freighting contract for that too. Mm-hmm. So I was on that. Then when they had the contract like for drilling it for Kendicott, that was Bear Creek Mining Company out of Kobuk. Exploration Service had the contract there for drilling.
Mm-hmm. This is for exploration.
Well, that was Exploration Service had a churn drill. Mm-hmm. And we drilled down because they had diamond drills in there, but we drilled down through the overburden, the bedrock, mm-hmm. then pull our casing out and put their casing in for a diamond drill and then pull our casing out over it. So that would give them a start because they had trouble getting down to bedrock.
So you.
We drilled them.
The sort of the test hole.
Yeah, then yeah, that's would, right. Then they'd set their drills up for diamond drilling, mm-hmm. for core test.
What is a diamond drill? Is it that is just a very hard
well,
it's metal?
The bits, most of it drills a core, mm-hmm. instead of just like a jackhammer or something, but it drills a core so you can check it and test it.
So it would look like a round cylinder.
Yeah, it's up to, theirs was, I forget the size they had, but they'll go up to about 4 inches. Some of it, yeah, but they're smaller ones too, mm-hmm. the smaller cores. So then they take them out, they check them.
And analyze what's in it.
Yeah,
and
that's
see
right.
if it's feasible for development.
But see, we didn't take no core samples on, because we was going down to bedrock. See, what bedrock is like gravel here. That's alluvial.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get down where it's hard bedrock, why then that's when they start diving drilling.
Mm-hmm.
But like on alluvial, they used to use churn drills here because in the interior, they when it was froze with
that. That churn, you mean like a corkscrew?
No, it's up and down.
Yeah,
where a Wycolt, a diamond drill is.
It's rotational.
Yeah, rotation, but it's not not an auger.
That's the word I was looking for, auger.
Mm.
Yeah, I think of with a drill and auger type, different types depending on the job that needs to be done.
So I worked for them off and on for Exploration Service.
I can see why when you put down occupation, you said you had many.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
But it all stems back to mining.
But then. L. Stout, guy I knew here in town, too. I worked for him up in the Kobuk. He had mining ground up in the Kobuk. I didn't mine with him, but he had mining ground. But then we put in, like, Shungnak Airfield.
Mm-hmm.
We built that. Then we done some work on Doll Creek Field.
Mm-hmm.
It's out of the Kobuk airfield there for... One winter I worked there on that because we extended the field so they could land Herks in there.
So you'd lay down
metal? No, that was just you strip and fill. Then we had a contract too. We built a road from Ruby Creek to the Kobuk River. That was for the state.
Mm-hmm.
The state was let a contract, we built that, and then we built the Shungnak Airfield, it was the same way, that was a state, for the state, we had to get a contract on that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it wasn't a big contract, it was just two men.
Well, you're used to that kind of work crew.
So then in between that time, I mined 1 year up here on Pedro, right close to where the monument is, mm-hmm. above the monument there.
Sounds like you really enjoyed gold mining. Was it the thrill of seeing the gold when you find it, or?
Not so much that. You're kind of independent. You're your own boss.
Your own boss. And so that was one of the big appeals to gold mining.
That's right, yeah. And at the same time, you thought you was going to hit it.
But there's a certain excitement in that. Sort of like looking for, well, it is a buried treasure. I have done a gold panning at a tourist place, and it is exciting to suddenly see those flakes.
That's another reason that we got like that. When we rented here, like in Fairbanks, it lived so long in Fairview Manor because I was never home too much.
Mm-hmm.
Back at the end and out, I was mostly away about.
Yeah, it'd be tough to have the furnace go down when.
Yeah, that's right. So that was that kind of ideal because it was close to school.
Mm-hmm. And to shopping.
And the maintenance was good there, very good. Then we moved out here, that's been 22 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, lots of neighbors now. Probably.
Yeah, there wasn't many then.
Yeah, it was out in the country.
Well, there was one neighbor up here, a guy that owned the property here. Then there was one over here. That's all there was. That trailer court wasn't in there yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really haven't been out here for quite a while. It's amazing how that's grown up in the 26 years that I've been here. So, are you still do a little prospecting, or
not too much anymore? Not my age. not too much.
Well, you like to watch others.
Because then, later on, I went to work because I worked up at Lycoming for Alyeska before the pipeline was built,
mm-hmm.
and I worked for Burgess Construction.
Oh yeah, Burgess.
You know, mm-hmm. because we freighted into, actually, I was working for Burgess Construction when we built the airfield at Dead Horse. Freighted from Sag 1, which is about 70 mile inland, an airfield. From there, we hauled the stuff in by plane, and then from there, we freighted, went down one fall.
Like a snow train?
Oh, no. With cats. With cats and trucks. We got enough trucks because we just had the contract then to build the Dead Horse airfield.
Mm-hmm. And so I guess much of the equipment was later air freighted up to Dead Horse.
And then we put it, assembled it there, then we took it down the river
mm-hmm.
before freeze up.
Down to Sag 1.
Which you can't do anymore. And in between times, I worked for Burgess Construction on the airfield at Barrow.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've been responsible for quite a few airfields up here.
Mm-hmm. Then when I was for Burgess, too, I worked in Juneau, in and out of here.
Mm-hmm.
But they had the contract down there, Dick O'Cove. If you've been to Juneau, there's about 40 or 40 mile of road out of Juneau into Echo Cove, Burners Bay.
Mm-hmm.
The front end, I think, was at Morrison Knutson had 10 mile or so, Burgess had the other. But we had to go in there by float plane. So off and on, I was down there for 2 years. Field at Barrow, that stuff was all freighted in there by a boat. Then we unloaded it and then built the airfield.
What was the earliest you could get in there by boat?
That was a year of the flood here in town.
Oh,
and that fall. So that was fall.
Mm-hmm.
we went up there, and that's when the boats could get in, and they could, you got to be real careful, because sometimes tugs that brought the barges in, they couldn't stay. Sometimes they'd have to go back out on the ocean because the ice would come in. When the wind is right, the ice comes into shore, and then you got to wait for the ice to break up too, just to take it away from shore so you can get into shore.
So you just had a very narrow lead at times to get in and out.
In and out. So that's when we don't give you too much time to unload and stuff. Mm-hmm. But all your, like, the equipment, the tar for the airfield, and that all come in by barge. Mm-hmm. It was unloaded there, even if some of the fuel came in. Mm-hmm. Then Burgess had the contract up there for putting in platforms for drilling rigs after they started Prudhoe Bay. I was on that.
Yeah, you saw Prudhoe Bay before it was built up.
Oh, I was in Prudhoe Bay a good many years before that, because when we was at Colorado Gas and Oil, when we set up at Gubik. The oil company was already prospecting there years before, and seismograph work was being done in there. So they were all over the Arctic in the wintertime, their freight. So a good many, 4 or 5 years before Prudhoe Bay was ever discovered, they were companies that were in there.
Mm-hmm.
Freight, like Colorado Gas and Oil was in Lake Alp. They were in there drilling.
It was 1968 that it made the headlines.
And well, that was, yeah, mm-hmm. That would be like in
shortly after the
Colorado Gas and Oil drilled in there before that, in around out of the reserve. Because the Colville River is a kind of a boundary for a reserve, and then east of that was open, for
prospect. So the Naval Reserve.
The Naval Reserve was the west side of the Lake Hall, but mm-hmm. the east side of the Colville, it was open, that's where the Lake Hall. So Burgess had quite a few contracts up there, and then when they put the airfield in, then when they took the built platforms for that in the Arctic in 69.
You'd fly up to Barrow and
You'd
fly up to Deadhorse, and work out of there.
Well, the original field, we went in there. The other company, I think it was St. Clair, they had an airfield where they made the discovery. They had their own airfield. But Deadhorse was south of there.
Mm-hmm.
So the first field we put in was temporary. We went in there with enough equipment and stuff and the camp to do us for 45 days. We had a field in there, a temporary field in there, about 4 or 5 days
mm-hmm.
on the beach, off the Sag River.
Mm-hmm.
Then about 2 miles from there is when they put in Deadhorse. The first one was Crazy Horse.
Oh, I remember that vaguely.
I
always thought it was a strange name, Deadhorse.
Well, there's a lot of people make different remarks of how that got its name, but the real reason for that name, there was two Burgess Construction bought out Deadhorse haulers.
Oh.
So, Deadhorse Haulers, the first one who went in there was under Deadhorse Haulers. But they took trucks up there to build that airfield
mm-hmm.
and drill stuff in for platforms. So, the first one was named Crazy Horse.
So it was named for a company.
Because we had a radio there we could call town. Sometimes you couldn't get, but we used that for call letters.
Crazy Horse.
Mm-hmm.
And Dead Horse.
Yeah, and later on they went for, when they went building platforms. On some of them platforms, it was Spruce Equipment, because Burgess had another company. It was Burgess Spruce Equipment.
Mm-hmm.
So we used that Spruce Equipment, too.
Was that located in Anchorage, or...?
No, that's Fairbanks.
Fairbanks.
Both of Burgess's was Fairbanks, yeah.
So Fairbanks is really the supply jumping-off point, then, for all of that construction.
Well, it was here in Fairbanks.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, like, the first we would go up to Sag 1, because that was the summertime, we was putting the, what do you call it, outfit together.
Mm-hmm.
But then later on, you flew stuff into Dead Horse, right, by plane, instead of going in between.
Mm-hmm.
And we got that airfield built away, and you could fly stuff in there, right, with Herc's. That was a big field.
Mm-hmm.
It was gravel, but it was big.
To accommodate great planes. That must have been quite an adventure, seeing thousands of people that...
It was an adventure for this. It was hard for camps and that to get stuff in there till we got the airfield in.
So that really made
and then they freighted two from Fairbanks in the wintertime.
Over the whole road.
Over the Hickle Highway.
Hickle Highway, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember when that was going on. That was quite a engineering feat to... put in all of those facilities, and so that's quite an engineering feat, putting in all of those facilities and that kind of terrain, and then to connect the interior with by road, made a big change.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So after you got the airfields in, when you were working for Burgess, did you continue working in that area?
Oh yeah, I worked then for Alyeska before they put the pipeline in, when they were surveying for material sites.
Mm-hmm.
Before they ever started the pipeline, when they was doing the survey. So I was we had cat train, and we had, what do you call it? Snow rigs.
This would be going up and down what is now?
Well, this is where the pipeline is now, like Galbraith Lake and from Galbraith Lane to the Bluffs.
Oh, Franklin Bluffs.
Franklin Bluffs in that area, because we was doing the survey sites for material. To put in, because pipelines are a roadside, a road alongside of it.
Mm-hmm.
Not the Alaska Highway, but there was it was right close to about right on the...
It's called Dalton Highway.
Huh?
Yeah. It's called the Dalton Highway now?
Well, that's the Dalton Highway, yeah. That was, so we was surveying for material sites.
Mm-hmm.
So then we freighted in there, then we went on there when they were building like... Adigan Pass, put a camp in there,
mm-hmm.
Set up camp for, I was on it for, that was, I'll forget the name of the outfit, but I was there for Alyeska, but then we set up them camps, set up Galbraith camps and stuff. You know,
mm-hmm.
They when they shut that down, and I went back in there to open them back up again. And Happy Valley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there.
So then when I was in town here, when they start moving that equipment in here, I went to work for Perini.
And that was a heavy construction?
Yes, right. They had contracts here. They were, first, they had a contract out of Delta to, what do you call it, to Dengler Sourdough. They held that part of the pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
There were.
So there were... certain sections that
different outfits had them, but they had that section. And so then when they were unloading their stuff here at the railroad in the White Home, where the gross in there where Ace Plywood and them is, not Ace, but, that railroad drug runs through there.
Oh, yeah.
Well, let's see, that's where they unloaded their equipment for the pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
So I was unloading the equipment there, Perini's equipment. And they were hauling it down to Delta, because they had a camp there in Delta.
So it would come off the train.
And then we'd low boy stuff down to Wanigong.
Down to Delta.
Then they had equipment then, and when I got through there, and I went to Delta, then they moved stuff in over the highway, too.
Mm-hmm.
We set up that camp. I was in there when they set that camp up for Perini in Delta.
Oh, there was a camp right at Delta?
Oh, yeah, right there by close to where the suspension bridge is there, what do you call it, where the goes across the Tanawha River. With the pipe.
Oh, yes.
The camp was right close to there. We lived in Delta.
Tanawha River.
You know, but the camp was close to there.
Mm-hmm.
They had a big camp. So then I went from there, I went to Isabel Pass.
I remember that camp.
Yeah.
Right against the mountains, yeah. The end of Summit Lake.
I was there, I was the equipment foreman for White Hall down there.
Mm-hmm. So but, all the time your family stayed in Fairbanks.
Huh?
All this time your family remained in Fairbanks.
Fairbanks, yeah.
Well, you're out on the road.
That's where I got my legs broke on there, Isabel Pass.
Oh, this happened while you were working?
Happened
while you were
working? I was on the White Hall. I was a foreman. From there, from camp down to Sourdough, we used big trucks and stuff to haul material for the
mm-hmm.
for the road.
So you had something fall on you? Or?
I was in what he called take this swing frame off a cap. It come out and got caught.
Oh dear. I guess there were quite a few accidents associated with heavy construction.
I don't know just how many people I had there, but I must have been close to 2,000, close to that.
So that was one of the larger camps?
Yeah, one of the larger camps. Anywhere from 1,000 mm-hmm. to 2,000.
Now that was a construction camp, so that was dismantled.
Huh?
That was a construction camp, so
yeah.
After the completion of the work, then it was dismantled.
No, it wasn't dismantled. The equipment was out of there, and somebody went to try to buy that. I think they sold that, or somebody bought it or something.
The remaining buildings. Because most of them were prefab.
Yeah, that's right. Well, that's really the lake home. Like at Galbraith Lake, Addigan Pass, they were all pre-camps.
Mm-hmm.
And then before they built the, when they were building the road, I worked for Burgess from Livingwood to Lake Home to the river. Burgess had the contract on that.
Mm-hmm.
Building that road for Alyeska.
It took about 2 or 3 years to build it.
That road?
Yeah.
No, I think about 2 years at most.
Mm-hmm.
Was that fall for Burgess, that summer, we went clear to the Waycon to the Yukon River. So then they built the bridge.
Mm-hmm. Have you been on the road in recent years?
No, I haven't.
Some pretty rough pieces of boulder, I guess, after winter until I get it graded. It's certainly beautiful scenery that it goes through.
Well, that winter, that fall, that was a cold winter. But we was going from Livingwood to the river. It was cold.
And that was... Oh,
they had, we had built, moved camp twice there. But there was about 250 men that set up camp. I was moving the camps ahead of the, before the, set the camps up so that they could move ahead. Because the first one was set up just a little bit out of Livingwood.
Mm-hmm.
Then I start moving that, meant to move into the next camp.
So as you'd finish a section and you'd move the
We'd move ahead of the section to set up camp ahead.
Ahead of them, and then, yeah. Then you would come up and...
That's right, you know.
Sort of leapfrogging up the road.
So it kind of made it tough because you couldn't, you had a certain area of trail that you had to stay on.
Mm-hmm.
And that was before the road was built. So we were moving camps in there before the road was built, to set up camps.
How many miles a day would you make?
Well, we'd make, we'd make a trip a day to move camp, you know, mm-hmm. so we could move three buildings.
A day?
Yeah.
And this would be about how many miles?
Huh?
About how many miles from one?
Well, that was, I think the first one was about 24 miles.
So you'd make three?
One trip a day.
Oh.
With three buildings.
With three buildings.
Yeah. Okay. We had a building, they take these house trailers, and or at least, trailers like they have
modular.
Here, you know, 70 feet long or whatever it was, no, mm-hmm. 40 feet.
Like the Atco trailers.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And so we had a special dolly we could turn around, take the wheels off, and then put it up on the flatbed.
Mm-hmm.
And then the cats would pull them, not trucks. You had to take it in with a cat.
With the cat.
You know,
yeah.
Because there wasn't any roads, and the road wasn't there, it was just a trail.
Mm-hmm.
Then we'd set them up, and they'd people move into them and move their equipment up.
And stay there mm-hmm. for a while until it was time to move to the next site.
Well, we'd have to set that up. We'd have to set up disposal areas too for waste.
Yeah, that must have been quite a problem hauling waste out. And
well, you didn't haul it out. It was there. We treated it right there.
Treated it on site. Mm-hmm.
But setting up camps and was to get a heat in them and that. You
mm-hmm. And have enough water.
Water, you know, hot water was all hauled.
Hot.
Like from Hess Creek and other places.
Mm-hmm. So you get drinking water from the local rivers or creeks and treat it in such a way.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you had all in place, even like when I went down to Juneau and them places. We was on the hillside where the spring was right there with beautiful water, but the state requires that you treat it.
Mm.
And then you see how to use chlorine.
Even if it were.
And then, so
water on
actually,
earth.
In Juneau, it wasn't that bad. Mm. But like in land, but in them places, it was because you had to treat the water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't tell by looking at it or even tasting it if it's safe enough. You have all your work experiences. I suppose there's something special about each one. What stands out as the one you maybe enjoyed the most or meant the most
well,
to?
Well, I enjoyed it because the jobs I've done were varied. In other words, I didn't... You weren't tied to one.
Right. You like the independence?
Well, it's not an independence. Even when I was working like for Burgess and them, I was a mechanic and I was a foreman.
Mm-hmm. So you liked the variation?
Variation, yeah.
And applying your previous experience.
I only had one problem that I could have had a desk job, but I'm not made for it.
Well, you certainly had a lot of the outdoor life, especially at many times at 60 and 70 below, I'm sure.
And probably another thing with this is just like, I never like to sign checks for somebody else's but my own.
Well, thank you very much. I've enjoyed talking to you and hearing about things that happened before I came to Alaska and things like the building of the pipeline that was taking place when I first moved to Fairbanks, and it's interesting to hear it from somebody who experienced it firsthand. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.